Kathy Crowley and her husband, Paul Amlin, have an amazing view. The window in front of their kitchen table overlooks a vineyard with a ridge beyond it. Their home is in California's wine country, and it isn't big, just one bedroom. But it has some pretty remarkable features. It's fully electric. It produces zero planet-warming gases.
So over in this room, we have our washer and dryer. They're all electric.
Heat pump, hot water heater that also has an electric coil backup for heavy use.
Mm. Here's the induction stove.
This is our battery backup.
And then this is our solar over here.
20 panels up there.
And it pulls minimal power from the electric grid, so it's all pretty environmentally friendly. But the reason their house is so state-of-the-art is because their old house burned down in the 2017 Tubbs fire.
There was nothing left of our structure except for maybe we could see the remains of a washing machine. We did not try to sift through our stuff. We got here pretty quickly and realized there really just wasn't anything here.
When it was time to rebuild, they had a lot of choices. Among them, gas or electric.
In the end, we're really happy still
we made the choice. Everything about the house being all electric worked out probably better than we expected.
Yeah. I mean, literally, we pay, what, $300 a year?
Well, that's only after we purchased a hot tub.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Erin Baldessari. You're listening to Sold Out, Rethinking Housing in America. Today on the show, the choice of how to rebuild is one that folks in Los Angeles will soon be making. Going electric is one of the best ways for homeowners to reduce the kinds of emissions that increase global warming. But it comes with challenges. Climate reporter Laura Clivens is here. She'll take us from Santa Rosa to Oakland to talk about how people there made the choice to ditch gas appliances. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Erin.
Okay, so Kathy and Paul rebuilt their home to be all electric. Why?
They were part of a program from their electricity provider that was trying to build homes to be more efficient, more resilient, and all electric. And that's because, as a whole, the state of California is moving away from using gas and towards using more electric appliances. One reason is to reach climate targets. Our buildings emit about a quarter of the state's planet-warming emissions.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. So going all electric reduces emissions because you might be getting that electricity from your own solar panels, from your backup battery, or from California's grid. And most people don't know this, but California already gets more than half of its electricity from things like renewables and nuclear energy.
Okay. But another reason is about the cost, right?
Exactly. Us ratepayers are footing the bill for two very expensive systems, gas and electric. And increasingly, they do the same thing, like heat water so we can have a nice shower. So the idea is, can we have just one system, or could we shrink one down at least to reduce how much it costs to maintain?
Okay, so this program in Santa Rosa was trying to do some version of that. How did it help people exactly go all electric?
With incentives. It made it essentially cost the same to build with gas versus electricity in 2017 when they were doing this. So when folks had to rebuild, it then became an easier choice for them.
So it sounds like this was an all-new electric community. Is that what happened?
It is not what happened. Okay. It was much more like a Swiss cheese kind of thing. It was like here and there, a house would build back all electric. And that is good for individual homes, sure. But in terms of reducing the cost of a full grid, it doesn't really do anything. Because if you have a street with just one person using gas and everyone else is electric, you're still going to need to run that expensive gas line beneath the street to maintain service.
Right. So one person or 10 people using the gas appliances, you still need that main line. So without the full buy-in, you lose a lot of those benefits.
Yep.
So I know this was something that you looked into for season 3 of Sold Out. You went to a neighborhood in Oakland that was also trying to make this switch from gas to electric.
That's right. While building back homes in Santa Rosa and LA would mean new building and making something electric from scratch, this other project tackled a much bigger and different problem, which is how to cut fossil fuels out of the buildings that we already have. And one idea is that this kind of thing can be most effective when it's a chunk of homes next to each other. This way you can get economies of scale when you buy appliances in bulk and could potentially prune back a gas line if everyone signs on. So this team of researchers from UC Berkeley put together an experiment.
That was the Eco Block.
Right. The neighbors would get free upgrades like solar panels and heat pumps, and in turn, the researchers get to have a guinea pig. And this one street in East Oakland was chosen for the project.
basically, I read it as like free solar for everybody on my block. This sounds great.
That is Isaac Zones, and he's a resident on the Eco Block, and he was the first person to hear about the program through a friend. Isaac and his wife went door-to-door to convince neighbors that they should all get in on it.
So when last we checked in, and this is over a year ago now, a lot of the plans had been laid, but there was little to show for them. And you're going to tell us what's happened since then. We'll do that after this break. Stay with us. So, Laura, you went to Oakland to visit the Eco Block on a recent Sunday.
Yes, and residents and volunteers were all out on the street doing a lot of digging. Neighbors Nick Corlett and Emily Kistner, they both live there. One owns and one rents. And together, they were coaxing this light green shrub into the ground in front of Kistner's home.
We're planting a toy on here in the sidewalk strip.
Which is from the local nursery right up in Joaquin Miller.
Yeah.
So it's like a native plant.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to gently tug on them and I'll see if... There we go. You
okay.
Got it?
They were planting 6 new trees into earth that had been recently exposed after a bunch of concrete was ripped out of the sidewalk strips. It was related to the project and also a fun community event to get folks together. Therese Peffer is the Berkeley researcher behind this project, and she has worked for years to bring this to fruition.
This is a big milestone. The biggest part, too, is just seeing the community out here helping. I mean, these guys helped each other plant each other's trees. It feels very tangible, very physical.
Because the other stuff is much harder to see.
That's right. So this was mostly about installing a bunch of new appliances, as you said. So now that many of those appliances have actually been installed, how are folks feeling about it?
Pretty awesome. People were really into their heat pumps, which okay. work as both heaters and air conditioners. And they talked about the difference they can make to feel super comfortable in your home.
Well, I didn't have a working furnace before, and now I have heat and AC, too.
So we actually had cool air during this heat wave.
For the past couple of nights, I've been sleeping like a baby.
Step off the bed, and your feet used to be pretty cold. And now it's like, oh, kind of toasty.
There it is. Oh, it's so sweet.
So these were the folks, as I recall, who were the original boosters of the project. But I remember there were also some folks who didn't want to participate, particularly one guy who had spent like decades getting his home just so.
Yeah, Steve Johnson. He is a contractor who was not keen on having other folks just pop into his house and do a bunch of work.
So I'm glad I didn't sign up for it. But, you know, for people who want to do it, I think it's nice. I just think it's really taken a long time and probably much more expensive than anybody counted on.
And Steve wasn't alone. Even though all these upgrades were being offered for free, about 40% of people still didn't participate. And Steve is right. It did take longer, and it cost more than they had anticipated. All told, the block signed onto the project 5 years ago now, and researchers have spent more than $8 million on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know the pandemic and inflation did not help with that. And there are a bunch of other challenges there, too, right? Both logistical and social.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the folks who were into this project didn't get everything that was initially envisioned. Organizers had really scaled down things from the beginning. You know, at one point, there was an idea around a shared backup battery, a shared electric vehicle, even a microgrid. Those things did not happen.
Okay. So knowing what they know now on the other side of things, do you think folks would do it again?
Everyone I've talked to said yes, they would make the same choice again. Ismael Plasencia, who goes by Is, rents a home on the block with his family. While he acknowledges that they've waited for a long time for upgrades, he also put a positive spin on that.
That's kind of one of the things that's been amazing to see, the persistence of the folks that have been working on this project and how they really want to see this completed.
Is really believes in the impact the project can have as a model for other communities, which is what Therese Peffer wants to.
We've had a lot of people reach out to us and say, man, I want to do this with my block. I want to do this in my neighborhood. What are the guidelines? How do I start? So that's our goal in the next year. What are those lessons learned? What can we capture and put online for other folks that are interested in doing something like this?
That will include things like estimates for how much it will cost to go electric for different types of homes. So there's this practical piece to it, but then there's this piece of just looking at the huge issue that is climate change And when I was talking to resident Isaac Zones, who brought the project to this block, he felt like they were able to chip away at this huge issue.
I think we are people who think about climate change and want to figure out something to do about it. And so much of it seems like kind of a string of losses, you know, and this felt like a victory of some kind. We set out to do something, we're able to do it, you know.
So it sounds like Isaac is declaring victory of sorts, but this project's not totally done though, right? What's still in the works?
Most appliances and the solar panels are already installed and most are ready to go, but a few more details need to be figured out before everything is 100% connected.
So we've talked about two experiments, one in Santa Rosa, another in Oakland, that both honestly didn't end up achieving the full ambition of what they were aiming for. Is it still fair to say that they were a success?
I think what we can say is that this is what a transition looks like. Mm. It's about trying and failing, taking lessons, and getting better each time.
Okay. So what lessons can we take from these experiments?
For one thing, community ties are essential when it comes to adapting to climate change. One of the neighbors on the block, Jesse Hassinger, told me he thought this might not actually be possible everywhere. The folks on this block were already pretty close. They had annual block parties. They share extra fruit from their trees, stuff like that.
It would be really hard for me to imagine this project being successful in a community that didn't have that level of mutual trust and investment and involvement.
But he says the project also helped build even more trust.
A big part of this project was bringing community together to sort of see how we can contribute to solving this challenge of reliance on fossil fuels.
And that's what the researcher Therese Peffer told me too. She says trust was essential in reaching people unfamiliar with new electric appliances.
It was through the neighbors, them talking to each other, those trusted relationships. That's what made it happen.
And also in my work, I see there's a lot of opportunities for, dare I say it, fun when it comes to climate. Like working on this solution brings a lot of joy. I was legitimately jealous of this block. I wanted it to be my block when I was out there with this tree planting, when I was talking to Emily Kistner.
It's so meaningful, I think, to do this as a group, to weave everybody together and just like have these experiences and have an opportunity to talk to your neighbors, you know, especially I think in the times that we're living through, which seem extraordinary and rather dark. I was really looking forward to just this simple thing.
Awesome work, guys.
Yeah.
Cool. This is so cool.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for being here and bringing us that update.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Erin.
That was climate reporter Laura Clivens. I'm Erin Baldessari. You've been listening to Sold Out, Rethinking Housing in America. That's all we have for a while, but stay tuned. We are cooking up a new full season. Sold Out is a production of KQED. This episode was edited by Erica Kelly and Kevin Stark. Our audio engineer extraordinaire is Brendan Willard. Cedric Wilson wrote our theme song. Many thanks to the fine folks on KQED's podcast team. They are director Jen Sheehan, operations director Katie Springer, and engagement producer Maha Sanad. Our senior leadership team includes Otis Taylor Jr., Ethan Tobin-Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. Thanks so much for listening.